Good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one to Thomas Village Baptist Church this morning. And those on Facebook, those are out in the parking lot. We have just a few announcements here. It'll be a church-wide storage organization week beginning July the 11th through the 17th. And we need volunteers. We've got stuff that needs to be carried out from downstairs behind that wall to try to get cleaned out. So there's a sheet out in the foyer there to sign up if you can help with that. And our Samaritan's Purse monthly shoebox donations. Our goal here at Thomas Village this year is 500 boxes. And they keep up with numbers on that pretty good. And there's one in four people come to know the Lord out of those shoeboxes.
Amen.
So try to help on that, please. Okay, that's all I have right now.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Fiery gospel written, rose of burnished steel. As ye deal with my contenders, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel. Since God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on.
Let's all stand and sing number 634, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, we just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, to hear your word. We pray for those today, Lord, that are not able to come. We pray for all the lost sinners in the world today, Lord. And I just pray that you be with Brother Brian as he stands this morning, Lord, to bring your word. And I just pray, dear God, that it would touch a heart, that if there's anyone here that knows you not as personal Savior, I just pray, dear God, that this would be the day that they would give their heart and life to you. Yes. Lord, there's many traveling today on the roads, and I just pray, dear God, that you would give them safety to and from as only you can. Now go with us and be in this service, Lord. And for these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard my plea.
'Cause Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. Gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. And that's what your mercy did for me.
You gave me beauty for my guilty state. And now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise. 'Cause I know that I've been saved.
I've been saved.
The Lord, You found me. You heal me. You call me from the grave. In Your real love, thank You, Jesus. You wash my sins away. Living like I'm forgiven, You came and set me free. And that's what Your mercy did for me. And every morning, mercy will restore me. Jesus, You wash my sins away. Now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. And that's what Your mercy did for me. That's what Your mercy did for me.
Thank You, Jesus.
That's what Your mercy did for me.
Thank You, Jesus.
That's what Your mercy did for me.
Thank You, Lord.
That's what Your mercy did for me. That's what Your mercy did for me.
Amen. Are you blessed already? You can go to the house. Amen. That's good. They can do that one again, can't they? Could do it again right now if they wanted to. No, thank y'all for the singing this morning. And Sister Catherine, we're looking forward to you being back involved with it when you get yourself all healed up. And also, we're just thankful that the day is Independence Day, where we as Americans, as you turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 14, which will be kindly our key scripture today. We're going to be using a lot of scripture, a lot of quotes today. But today is the day that we celebrate our independence. And I think the best way to celebrate our independence as a nation is to celebrate our dependence on the Creator and one true and living God. Amen. And as Americans, we should stand and we should give Him honor for all that He has blessed us with. So I'm going to ask you to stand now in honor of our Creator that has given us this liberty. And let's give praise to Him for America. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You for this day. Thank You for this day. Those of you that's watching by Facebook, God bless you. It's good to be with you today. And we'll begin reading here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, one verse, it says, if you're there, say amen. Right? Proverbs 14, verse 34, you could probably guess it. Righteousness exalts or lifts up a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We could replace that word reproach, that sin is a disgrace, sin is shameful, and sin is embarrassing to any people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your goodness. I'm thankful for Your compassion and Your forgiveness, Lord. And I'm thankful that I can proclaim today that I am saved, not by my works, but by the completed works of Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, I invite You into this place today that You'll take the Word of God and You'll move with it. And You'll do in our hearts as You see fit, knowing that You are sovereign. And again, Lord, let the Spirit of God go forth in His Word. whether it be through radio, whether it be by the Facebook, whatever it might be. But today we pray that Jesus be glorified. Again, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It is good to have you today as you're being seated, and we're thankful for those that's made the effort to come out and be with us today, whether you're doing it by Facebook or parking lot or here in-house. We don't count it by chance or accident, but we know that God has brought you here, and we believe that God has something to say to you today, not because it's Thomas Village, but because we believe His Word still speaks if we're willing to listen. Also, if you don't remember anything about today's message, remember three things: that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts or lifts up a nation. The word righteousness there simply means doing what is right in God's eyes. It lifts up a nation. But sin, which is whatever's against the right of God, whatever He pronounces as right, and we do opposite of that, then it should be shameful. It should be a disgrace. It should be embarrassing to any person, whether you're rich, poor, red, yellow, black, or white, whether you're American or some other, when we do against God's will, it should be shameful for us. That's why many times in Scripture you see sin is described as darkness. And we know that sin is and that darkness is a picture of the lack of light. It is the lack of Jesus Christ in our life. It is the lack of the goodness or the Father of lights, as we're told in the book of James, that gives only good and perfect gifts. Today, as we consider the 4th of July, I want to read another passage to you out of the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And for many of you, this would be familiar, but it's not too familiar today in America. And the Lord, Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, or meaning that it is burdensome to the Lord, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Notice the man of God is interceding with God on behalf of the city, behalf of the nation. Verse 22, and it said, verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous ones, the ones that do what is right in your eyes, with the wicked ones? Preadventure, or perhaps there be 50 righteous within the city. 50 people that are doing right in the eyes of God in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if I find 50, will you not destroy it? Verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. You see the picture of those that are close to God doing the right, but the wicked which are far away from God are doing against God. End of verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, 50 people that do what's right in my eyes, then I will spare the place for their sakes. May God add the reading to His words. And if, in case you don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah, the word Sodom is where we get homosexuality from, and I'll just leave it right there. And homosexuality and all that goes with that is basically, it's no greater than any other sin. The Bible tells us that pride is detestable in the eyes of our Lord, that the proud in heart. But what it is you find in Scripture that when a nation or a country gets to this point, God's hand of judgment is not far behind it. Or either a great revival comes. I mean, one or the other. Because when you get to the point, and we're going to talk about this later, because we're going to look over in the book of Romans chapter 1. And there we see a description of America today. I ask your prayers this morning, as I have a lot on my mind and heart. And I believe they're of God, but without the Holy Spirit, I won't be able to express the truth in the message that God would have today. So I'm counting on the Holy Spirit's ability. Last Sunday, I preached a message on deadly divides or divine unity. And what it was the role of the church in restoration of our country. And specifically, it was a message to Thomas Village Baptist Church and our role in the restoration of our country. The Bible says that there'll come a point when the salt and the light, which is the Christians of America, when the salt and the light will be hidden under a veil of flesh, of work, of pleasure to self, and that the salt will become savorless, meaning that the saltiness will be gone. And at that point, all it's good for is to be trod under feet. And I believe we're living in a time where we're seeing in America that Christian values, Christian morality, Judeo-Christian effort, ethics are not only being trampled on by the states of America as a whole, the government, but I also believe that they're being hidden and done our best to shut us up. And I believe that's one of the biggest problems right now. As I called you out last week, Thomas Village Baptist Church, I basically called you out on not just going back and us not going back to just pre-COVID what we were, but going back to where Jesus Christ is number one in our life and everything that we do is for His glory. Getting away from self and making self-importance. And I called you out that you be what God has called you to be, no matter what that is. And how that it's easy for us to get complacent, especially after what all we've gone through in COVID-19. But as I left here last Sunday, I looked over at Amy and I said, I hate preaching sermons like that, and I always question myself when I do. But in that, I still feel like it was God's message, but guess what? He put a burden on my heart. And just like I interceded, as your pastor, it's my duty to intercede from God to you and to tell the message that I feel like God would have for you and to pray for you that God use us here at Thomas Village. I also feel that it's my duty as your pastor to intercede with God on behalf of our nation. And I was convicted, and so I asked the deacons if they would to all sit down and write a prayer. And I went up to Washington, D.C. this week. And I spent an hour at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue looking at the White House and praying over our nation. I'm thankful for the prayers of the men that wrote down because they were all different, but they were all important. I got there and, folks, in case you didn't know, Duffield, Virginia and Washington, D.C. are polar opposites on the map. There's a great divide, but I'm going to tell you something else. In the way of living, there's a great divide. I'm telling you, it's another planet. It's another planet. Literally, on one side of the street, there were the finest of foods, finest of clothing, finest of housing. And on the other side were other people sleeping on blankets about the size of a bath towel and carrying everything that they owned in a black trash bag. The lucky ones got the benches. The other ones slept on the grass. It was so hot down there that, and you know, they call it the swamp politically, but I'll tell you something else. You get inside of that place with all the concrete and everything up there, it feels like a swamp. It was 92 degrees, but due to everything else, it felt like 95 degrees, 96 degrees. They got to a point where they had to have cooling stations for people, and I figure it's mostly for those that are having to be out there, the invalid, the ones that don't have a home, that they can go there. I looked around, I walked around for hours the first day and realized I ain't young anymore. But I walked around and I saw some of the most awesome buildings, structures, statues, and monuments that I've ever seen in my life. I saw churches galore. There were Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches, Christian churches, non-denominational churches. And those churches were the most beautiful churches that you'd ever see in your life. And God convicted me at that point and He said it ain't for lack of quantity of churches. While at the same time I see direct rebellion and flagrant disregard as I walked around to the one true and living God, almost like a fist raised in rebellion to Him. To be honest with you, with everything that's going on, the state of Virginia trying to make our schools let transgender students use a bathroom of their choosing, while the children that choose to recognize the gender they were born with will be stuck in a private bathroom. We're living in a nation that is hiding what God has done, hiding what God has created, and placing the spotlight on evil. That's the country we're living in. But remember, it's not the quantity of churches that's the issue. And I'll be honest with you, with some personal bits, I came in, if you could tell, Wednesday night, I was a little down. But the Lord brought me into a study of the founding fathers of America. And looking at these men's writing in accordance with Scripture, and then by a message from Adrian Rogers, and I'm not ripping his message off today. I couldn't do it justice even if I tried. But entitled, Freedom Isn't Free, on Life Worth Finding, you can go look it up. Not only did God give me back my hope for America, but He also reminded me that there is hope for every single American citizen that is alive and willing to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, from the poorest on one side of the street in Washington to the richest on the other side of the street, and whosoever across the nation of America. I found hope in this book, the Bible, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary, that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can rescue America, can take us from the miry pit and set us up on the rock. Listen at these things today. I'm going to do my best not to hold you long, because it really is not the amount I say, it's the potency that it's said with through the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us have heard of the Mayflower, right? That ship that came in with the pilgrims and all them on it. You know, they didn't like to be called pilgrims. You know what they wanted to be called? They wanted to be called saints. But you remember they came in, there was 100 and something on that boat. 40 of them were a part of a English Protestant separatist, meaning that they were tired of the Catholic Church, the Church of England. They wanted to live for Jesus the way the Bible said to live for Jesus. And so 40-some-odd got on the boat and 40 got off there. And they found something called the Plymouth or the Mayflower Compact. These were the first Americans. These were the first ones before any kind of government got involved and before the hands of man really got involved. I want you to listen to the purpose of America. In the name of God, amen. That's the beginning. That's not the end. We say, let it be in God's name. But they begin it by saying, let it be in God's name. Amen. We all agree. We whose names are underwritten, loyal subjects of the dread and sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, by the grace of the God of Britain, France, and Ireland, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and for honor of king and country, having became on a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemn and mutual in the presence of God and to one another covenant and combine ourselves together as a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation. But did you hear why they said they came? They came for the advancement of the Christian faith. So that the news of... Now, were these men perfect? No. No, they had their faults and they had their flaws. And we see that reflected in our country now. But the heart... They wanted to do something for God. They wanted to make Jesus first. They wanted to be godly people, good people, for the glory of God. And they united themselves with other good people. That's what they were doing there. Good people uniting with good people. Why? For the cause of Christ. That's the foundation of America. The Declaration of Independence says this, listen, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the laws of God entitled them. Do you hear that? That they have separated. The reason we left, because we want America left England, is because they believe that every man should have an equal and separate station. Why should we have that? Based on the laws of nature and based on the laws of God. Did they believe in evolution? Did they believe that we were planted here by aliens? Did they believe that we're experiment by some other strange anti-earthly being? No, they believed in the one true God and believed that it was Him that freedom was ordained. That's what they said. Listen, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare that cause which impels them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Undeniable rights. Why? Because we've been made in the image of our Creator. And He has given. You see, there is no government that has the right to pass rights. You understand what I'm saying? All they're to do is to ensure them. Not to provide them, but to ensure them. But again, they said that it is God. Again, we know they weren't perfect. We know that there was slavery and issues like that. But praise God, the heart of what was there is one that God could build on. One that God could bless. And one that God could actually cause a nation to flourish. If you've not noticed, America is one of the youngest countries that is, but it is one of the greatest and most blessed countries there ever been. Why? Because of God alone. Not because of the men, not because of the republic, not because of any of that, but only because of the God who reigned. Listen to another one. George Washington. While we zealously perform the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inactive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our greatest glory to add the more distinguishable character of Christian. Hey, our first president said, it's good to be a soldier. It's good to be an American. It's good to be a patriot. But it's better to be called a Christian. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, I might be a resident of America, but I'm looking for a greater kingdom. And my name is written in another book, and I have a home that is not built with hands. Today, I want you to know I'm proud to be an American. My hope is not built on America. But I still believe we're the best country that's ever been. And I believe that the men and women who helped found this country believed in their heart that it was of God to plant this country, to build this country, to grow this country. John Adams, the second president and signer of the Declaration of Independence, said the general principles on which the fathers of independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. The principles which only could be attended by them in their address. My answer is the general principles of Christianity, in which all sects were united, and the general principles of English and American liberty. You hear what he said? All sects, different groups. There were different groups, but every one of them were in agreement that God should be placed first in our country. I got this from listening to Adrian Rogers. I'd heard the name Alex de Tocqueville. He is a French socialist and political theorist which in 1831 traveled to America and went throughout all America studying the prison systems and other things about America. Eisenhower quoted him as saying this, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodities and harbors and her ample rivers, but it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of America's genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. You see, today the problem is not with the quantity of churches, it's with the quality and character of the people in America today. We're no longer people of character. We're no longer people of principle. Now, I'm not pointing this at you today, but I'm talking America as a whole. We're no longer respected. We're no longer looked to as the bright light that every other nation could look to and have hope in looking to us. Now we're a laughingstock. Now we flip-flop. Whatever's going with the breeze. What is Britain doing? And maybe we can do it like them. We're trying to define the Constitution by the things that we broke ourselves from back years ago. You see, America has had the grace of God upon it. Righteousness exalts a nation, lifts it up. But sin is a disgrace to any people. No matter what culture says, the cancel culture, trying to tell us that America was not established as a Christian nation. The fact is, when you sit down and you read the documents, while all of the founding fathers may not have been Christian, they did establish what they wrote and how the principles of our government is built on Judeo-Christian ethics. Bottom line, you can't say anything else about that unless you want to twist it your way. Now, you can bring out the faults of them, and I'll go all day with the faults. But it's the heart of our founding fathers. William Shakespeare said, "There is nothing good or bad until thinking makes it so." There's nothing good or bad. That's the theory of relative. You know, it really doesn't matter unless you make it matter. Ah, but you see, when our forefathers came, they had a standard. They didn't believe that there was no absolute of good and there was no absolute of evil. No, they believed that there was good. They believed that there was bad. They believed that there was a way that was right in the eyes of God and there was a way that was wrong in the eyes of God. The standard, when America and our forefathers came, the standard is God. And they recognized that God is good. They realize, as it says in the book of Psalms 136, verses 1 and following, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. They knew that God is good. And if we're going to come back to the America that worships at the feet of Jesus, then the first thing we've got to recognize today that the Creator of all things is a good God. Listen, God is good, for He is morally perfect, glorious, generous. The acknowledgement of God as good is the foundation of all biblical and moral thinking. The foundation of biblical truth is that God is good morally. In Scripture, good is not an abstract quality. It is not secular humanism. It means that foremost and first that God is without flaw. He is without evil. He is without wrong. He is right. He is clean. He is pure in all that He is. He is good. Our forefathers proclaimed and knew that God is good. Psalms 105, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness is to all generations." Because God is good, then what He does is good. And because God is good, what He creates is good. Because God is good, what He commands is good. And what He gives, it is good as well. We've got to understand and we've got to believe that God is good, because that's what built America. Believing, not that the men and the women were good, but that the God that they serve, the God that they have surrendered to, the God that called them to establish America, He is good. And the work that He is going to do through them as He established this country with 13 states, that work was a good work. James 1, verses 16 through 18 says this, "Be not deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But by His own choice He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a first kind of fruits of His creation." And that's not what I believe He was doing with America. It was the great experiment. But God brought men and women over here that believed in Jesus Christ, believed in His Word, believed that what God is totally is that He is without evil. He is pure and He is holy. And that He had called them to America to do something good in His name. So we see that America has been blessed because not only did they recognize that God is good, but they recognize that God's ways are good. Righteousness exalts a nation. Doing what is right in God's eyes lifts up a nation. But sin should be embarrassing, or is embarrassing. We may not be wise enough to know it, but sin is embarrassing to any people. Roger Sherman, y'all know who he is? Nope. But he's a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Listen to what he said. "I believe that there is only one living God existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same in substance, in equal power and glory." That's who said to King James, "We're done. We're done." That was their belief. Listen, Alexander Hamilton. I know y'all have heard of him. They've got a new play about him and all that stuff. My youngins even made me watch it. But listen to what he said. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a ratifier of the Constitution. He says, I have carefully examined the evidence of the Christian faith, and if I were sitting on a jury upon its authenticity, I would unhesitatingly give my verdict in favor." What's he saying? I'm in favor of Christianity. I'm for Christianity. Benjamin Franklin, probably one of the loosest, moral-wise, when it came to some of our founding fathers. He was a cad, if you study about him. But listen to what he said. "As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think that the system of morals and His religion, as He left them to us, is the best the world will ever see, is the best the world has ever saw, or will likely ever see." What's he saying? He's saying the morals, the truth of Christianity, just the way of living behind it, is the best I've ever seen. What did he do? Based on that, they started a new country. Why? Because they believed God had made men and women equal. And they believed that the ways of God was good. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, ratified the Constitution. He said the gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest of rules for conduct in every situation of life. Happy they who enable to obey them in all situations. You hear what he's saying? He's saying that the Word of God in Christian ethics has a proper way for us to handle every situation of life, and that those who try to do it are happy. That's what our founding fathers believed. But you see, what were the ways of God? You see, when they talk about it, they believe in the morality of God. Yes, the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs. What did that mean? Well, in John 15, we are told by Jesus, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Now, you heard these forefathers just saying that there's none better than Jesus Christ. The moral and the way of living that he laid out, that's the best. And they're saying that if we would do good as an individual and as a nation as long as we're following the truth that is taught by Jesus Christ and in His Bible. What does that mean? Matthew 22:37 and following, Jesus told us that we're to love God with all of who we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On all this hangs all the law. You see, these truths, these are the moral aspects of what these men who established our country believed in. They believed in a standard of right and wrong, and that standard is God. But He is good, and His ways are good, meaning that you shall have no other gods before Me is good. Meaning that you should make no other idols is good. Meaning that you should not take the Lord's name in vain. That's good. You should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Yes, that's good. You should honor your father and your mother. Yes, that's good. You should not murder. You don't commit adultery. You don't steal. You don't bear false witness. And you don't lust after other people's stuff. All of that is good. And that's the way that we should guide our life, by those truths. You see, our forefathers knew that God is good. They knew that His ways were good, but they also recognized that man's ways are corrupt. Listen at this, Alexander Hamilton again. Why has government been instituted at all? Because the passions of men will not conform to the dictates of reason and justice without constraint. I want to read that again. Because the passions of men will not conform to the dictates of reason and justice without constraint. What's he saying? Men and women will not do what is right unless it is compelled upon them by something greater. First off, they recognize that it has to be God Himself, that we repent to Him because He alone is good, and that we in ourselves, we are sinful, and anything that we get our hands on is going to be tainted. And they recognize also that a nation must be under the authority of God, and in that we can find true freedom, true justice for all. James Madison said this, "It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices would be necessary to control the abuse of government. But what is government but the greatest reflection of human nature?" Is that not a big amen? Government reflects the people that are running it, the people that are under it. He goes on to say, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary." But we're not angels, we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. So you see that these men did not trust in their own wisdom, but the principles, the guiding code behind the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all those things, the behind it is the truth of God. And they were working from the truth of God as they established all the government. You see, they believed and they recognized in Matthew 4:17 that Jesus, when He came, He preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning turn away and turn to Christ Jesus. Romans 3, verse 12 and following, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you hear those words? All have sinned. All needs to be constrained, be redeemed by the power of God, the goodness of God. We need to repent and turn to Him. You see, America is great because it is good. It is good not because of the men, but because of the Savior that they served. And our country was established by good men and meant to be given to good men who rule, who run it. You understand what I'm saying? It was established by good men, godly men. Listen, remember I said it's not the
It's not the quantity of churches, but it's the character of the people. You see, a good man is a godly man. And those good men, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, the founding fathers, they were passing on the good that they had created in God's name to other good men and women. And good men and women will continue to carry it on. You see, the good people, meaning, remember, righteousness exalts a nation, meaning those that do right in God's eyes, that nation will be lifted up. And we had men and women that believed in doing what was right in the eyes of God. Therefore, they were good people. And they thought that they were going to hand it off to people that were good people as well, meaning that they walked in the truth of the Word of God. They walked in the truth of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've said this before. There is no true wisdom or understanding until you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, they passed it on. The government they created, and they passed on from good people to good people. It was a government that was meant to protect life, not to sustain it. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't establish it to where they were going to make sure everybody lived a certain lifestyle. No, they protected it so others could try to live up to the lifestyle that they wanted. You see, they provided for a general defense in accord with personal responsibility. When it was time, where did the general defense come from? It came from the people, from the homes. They came together and sacrificed together for the common good. They didn't establish it for general defense. They had established it with general defense. And I tell you what, they promoted general welfare. They did not provide all welfare. You could be cared for, but it wasn't the government's job to care for you. Why? Because good people established it and they were passing it on to other good people. You see, our country was established by Christians. Our founding principles were founded in the light of God's Word. The people of God, in a relationship with God, established a real government that they were planning to pass on to people of God. You see, no longer are we living in a country of good people. No longer are we living in a country of people of character. We're living in a country of people all about themselves. I read in Forbes.com this week, in 2011, 49.2% of households received benefits from one or more government programs. Meaning that almost 50, and this was in 2011, almost 50% of our country was dependent upon Uncle Sam to feed it. Adrian Rogers told a story about a group of wild hogs. A man didn't know what to do, didn't know how to get rid of the wild hogs. He had tried everything. And he asked his neighbor, "Could you do anything to help me get rid of these wild hogs?" The man said, "Yeah, I can get rid of them." And so he said, "It might take me a little while, but I'll get rid of them." So what did he start doing? The neighbor started feeding those hogs. Started putting corn out there. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, he took a post and he put it in the ground and kept feeding them. Next couple of days, every day he'd put a new post. Kept putting corn out. The hogs kept coming in. Then he gradually put a low cross beam around the whole thing, except for one section. Then he did it again in about 3 to 4 rows up until it was where he just had one opening. But the hogs had got used to it, and they kept coming in. And then one day he finally just slowed a gate in front of it while the hogs were eating. And you know what he said? His neighbor's like, "Man, that was great." He says, anything that is dependent upon me to feed it, I can control it. It's awesome, isn't it? That's America today. See, we've quit looking for God to be our provider, our sustainer, our all in all, but we're looking to Uncle Sam to be daddy of the household. We're looking to Uncle Sam to be the breadwinner of the household. You see, Uncle Sam owes it to me as an American. Whereas our founding fathers were, "I owe it to God, I owe it to my neighbor, I owe it to my family to sacrifice of self so that we can live free." Today it's all about me living the way I want to be. No more accountability. I don't want to have to answer to anybody. God, you can't tell me who you created me to be. I define my own self. We have abortion. And believe you me, hey, God will forgive anybody. Anybody today. And I'm not beating up on you. Because I'm a sinner as big as any other sinner. If you knew half the stuff. But we're killing babies. God defined us. He said, what did he say? Honor your father and mother. He didn't say honor your mother and your mother. He didn't say honor your father and your father. He created us to be after our relationship with Him. The home environment is the next part of a solid civilization. And today we have a shambles of what a home is anymore. It ain't going to be long where you can have a daddy that's a dog. I'm serious. You think I'm cutting up, but bestiality is the next thing. It's coming. The transgender, our state is as liberal as they come. Ungodly as they come. And I'm not saying that any other's any better, but I'm saying we're leading the way in the South with liberalism. You see, our forefathers were good people because they were godly people. They were able to establish a good government because it was a godly government. But see, today we've moved from that point and our nation is not filled with godly people. It's not filled with good people. It's filled with prideful and selfish people. And again, if there's any hope for America, it's through the people of Jesus Christ. Now you see how you could get a little bit down? How awesome our country was. How godly and good our forefathers were. If you read over there in the book of Romans, it says, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that were contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with their passions one for another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. He goes on to say, because when they knew Him as God, they honored Him not as God. I got down a little bit, but then God reminded me of this. That's where America's at. But listen to the God that we have. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. He can do greater than what I can imagine. And praise God, if I can imagine America coming back to Him, then He can do greater than that. You say, Brian, listen. According to battlefields.org, the American army during the time of the Revolution never exceeded 58,000 men, while at the same time, British forces, the strongest power on the globe, in America, there were 77,000 men with the best weapons, the best training, and the best tools, but farmers of less than 50,000 rose up in Jesus' name and overcame the strongest war machine that was at that time. Why could they do that? Because as David stood before Goliath with a stone and with faith, they slang all that they had at the enemy, and in Jesus' name, He established America. Not George Washington, not James Madison, not Alexander Hamilton. They were all just tools, and praise God, He's still using tools today. And He's going to use the same type of people He used them, not the ones that were the biggest, the loudest, or with the most money, but the ones that were willing to fall on their knees and say, I need you. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. He was president-elect, standing facing the Civil War as those wrongs were trying to be righted. You see, even up to that time, godly men were trying to do godliness. Listen to what he said. My friends, I now leave, and knowing not when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington. Without the assistance of the same divine being who attended him, I cannot succeed. But with that assistance, I cannot fail. Is that not awesome? Huh? The same God that was there with George Washington was the same one that Abraham Lincoln was depending upon. Praise God today. It's the 4th of July. And I'm proud to be an American. But it's time for us to become good people because we are godly people. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their lands. I believe there needs to be change in Washington. I don't like the laws that they're pushing down our throats. They're sinful. They're a slap in the face of God. But again, I believe if America's going to change, it's going to be because the people of God have hit their knees and says we're tired of what it is. So change me into something that can help change our world, change America. At this time, I'm going to ask our piano player and our song director if they would come. I ask you today, whether you be in your chair or whether you be on the altar, that you pray for your nation. Pray for your president, because he is our president. Pray for our leaders. Pray that God move on them and put godly people around them. Pray that Thomas Village be everything that God has called us to be. And that we can't really do much in Washington, but we can sure make a difference in Duffield right now. And our prayers, which are our greatest weapon, can change what's happening in America, because we're not dependent upon the people, but we're not dependent upon the government. We're dependent upon the God who has blessed all of those. Let's stand. First two verses. Bless you. Y'all can be seated if you would like. This is should have happened. Well, in my book, it should have happened, but God knows long ago, but God knows what He's doing through COVID and everything like that. And so I'm going to ask Sister, if you would, just introduce yourselves. Amen. And they're no strangers to us. They've been here a part of us. I sit down with Sister, and it's not a question of salvation. Her desire is to be a part of our church and to work here. God has blessed her, and He's opening up new doors for her. And she's willing to work and be that all that God would have her to be, not only in Duffield, but at Thomas Village. And they want to become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Anything y'all would like to say? All righty. So this Wednesday night, when we have our business meeting, we'll be voting them. But we all know that that's just old hat and all that. So do y'all mind standing at the back door and letting people give y'all a handshake as we go out?
That's fine. You can handshake me, not Danielle.
Not Danielle. Don't touch Danielle. You hear that? Okay. All righty. So I'm going to ask y'all would if y'all would go to the back door this morning. And y'all can go on back if you'd like. Do we have any words of prayers? We do want to be praying for the Sister Renee Chesser and her family and Mr. Jim Lamb. And we'll pray for them. We want to pray for Miss Lottie and Sister Tammy, what's going on there. And pray for our country. Amen. And at this time, do we have any praise reports this morning? Words of testimony. Amen.
I appreciate it if everybody really prayed for
it. Amen. Put a double portion on you, right? Amen. Anyone else today? God bless you. Enjoy America this afternoon and your families. Brother Otis.
Let's pray. Father God, we come just thanking you for the words we've heard, the challenge that's in the words, the challenge to look more like you and less like ourselves. To look more like a nation under God and not a nation about something else. God, we know there's not unity in our nation. There's not unity in our hearts. And we can't change all that. The only thing we can change is ourselves. That we should look like you. And Lord, we just ask you to help us be that way. As a church body, as church members, that we'd look like you and not like the world. And as Brother Danny said, we all have devil problems. Because he says in your word, Lord, you've said that he goes up and down through the earth. Back and forth through the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we just see that people are being devoured every day. Because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, they don't walk like you. And Father, just help us to be that person, that individual. And if you put enough individuals together, we heard our pastor say, the farmers came together with whatever tools they had to defend themselves as a nation. And Father, we know you give us means and abilities to do that as a nation, but as a people and as a church family. And I just ask God that you help us through this challenge that's been given to us, that we as a people come to you and learn to love you and trust you, not ourselves, not our goodness, but your love and mercies. And we thank you for it. We thank you again for our church family. We ask you to be with us this day and this coming week as we can celebrate living in a country of the land of the free and the home of the brave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.